Our scripture reading for today comes from Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Hello. My name is Ainsley Ross, and I'm an incoming freshman at J.J. Pierce High School. At the end of June, the youth went on a mission trip to the Gulf Coast to help with hurricane damage. This was my second mission trip. This year's trip was overall amazing, but at first my work group wasn't how I expected it would be. Most of us didn't talk much to people other than our friends, except for the occasional, hey, will you help me with this? It was hard for us to talk and become close as a group. I also think that some of us didn't put forth effort into getting to know each other because we had judged everyone on our first impression. I immediately got frustrated with this because my expectation for everything was that it would be perfect. Our worksite had two adorable kittens and a litter of puppies, and at lunch on our first day and every day, we ate out on the porch with the animals. The first day, the puppies were inside, so we only played with the kittens, and one person in our group started feeding the kittens Cheetos that they weren't gonna eat. We decided to name that kitten Cheeto and the other one Frito and the mom Chip. We all laughed and had a great time together. I feel like this really broke the tension in our group. That led to a daily tradition of feeding the animals at lunch. One of my favorite lunch memories was when Andrew Douglas accidentally got one of his sandwiches really soggy, so we took apart the entire sandwich and gave each animal a part of the sandwich and some chips to go with it. I feel like God really taught me to be more patient and flexible, which were words that our leaders repeated to us over and over during the week. I was patient and flexible in telling myself that everything would work out if I gave it time, and it did. I wouldn't let it get to me, and I'd have a great week. Our verse for the week was Isaiah 43:2. It talks about how even in a hard time, God is with you, and I feel like that really showed with my work group this year.
Hello. As some of you know, my name is Quentin Semenuk. I have been in youth since seventh grade and gone on almost every mission trip available to me. When I was younger, I thought mission trips were just a way to get away from the house for a week, basically on vacation, with a little bit of work tied to it. But now that I'm older, I've been starting to see the lessons that I'm gaining on each trip a little bit clear. This year, we went south and worked on a couple of houses just north of Corpus Christi. Day one of the work week, a man named Jack Maverick, the coordinator for all the construction in the region, got all of us work groups together in the dining hall and gave a speech, and then he moved on to assigning our jobs for the week. Looking around, he saw that our group, the smallest one, would be working on the seemingly easiest job with the least to do. We were told to paint two rooms and make small touch-ups to the house as needed. Well, about 15 minutes on the work site, Jack decided that we're actually going to be tearing down parts of the existing sheetrock and then mudding the entire bedroom. So to sum it up, we had a little idea on what to do, how to do it, and we also didn't have any of the tools needed to complete our job. So all of this did not discourage us, though, or make us hesitate. We knew the work needed to be done, so we did the best we could with the time we had. We also had some amazing encouragement from our house owner, Maria. She would constantly make sure we were hydrated, that we were okay, that we were being safe on the work site, and then also she'd give us ice cream at the end of the day, which was nice. So in the middle of the week, that momentum kind of fell apart. We had a heavy rain pour down during the night and then in through the day. So the highways actually flooded, so we couldn't get to our work sites. But that day wasn't a complete waste of time. We played games inside, like cornhole. We played Foursquare, and we played a lot of card games. We also spent our fair share of time making bracelets out of multicolored string. Later that evening, our counselors found a movie theater nearby, and we all got to see Incredibles 2. My favorite part about that entire day was just like sitting around, talking to everyone, getting to know everyone a little bit better. Because our group is coming from two different churches. Many of us didn't know each other on a personal level, but that day really changed it. The next day, roads cleared, and we went to our work sites, replenished and ready to finish what we started, knowing that we were back, knowing in the back of our heads that we were a day behind. At the end of the week, we had patched holes, replaced sheets of sheetrock, and mudded all the walls in the bedroom. We had also completed the painting in the kitchen and the living room. Although we had not left the work site fully complete, we had completed a lot of work, given our circumstances. After this trip, I can definitely say that I was taught the important lesson of flexibility and persistence, which I and many other youth members will remember and take with us through the rest of our life. Thank you.
Thank you, Quentin and Ainsley. My name is Adam Young. I'm the associate pastor at Spring Valley United Methodist Church, and I bring you greetings from Spring Valley. It's been a joy to be able to work with your youth here and to be able to kind of continue to form this partnership that we have going. I think it's been a beautiful and productive and mutually encouraging thing for both of our groups. This is the third year now that we've kind of been working together between the two churches. We meet on a monthly basis, and we have taken three different mission trips together and a couple of retreats and mystery trips and all sorts of good things. And it's really, I think, been a great partnership. This past year, we took 60 people between the two churches on the trip, and it was phenomenal. It was a really wonderful week. A couple of the highlights for me this week was we got to do five different projects in and around the Coastal Bend area in Refugio, in Rockport, and in Aransas Pass. And the group I was in was working on a garage area, kind of tearing out sheetrock and mudding and all that kind of, and putting it back up and mudding and all that kind of good stuff. And we got to know our homeowners, Otis and Lisa, and they were wonderful. And they made us sloppy joes and cookies and brownies. It was great, and got to know a little bit about them. I think a couple of my favorite moments, though, were in worship that week. We started the week off with communion and talking about the ways in which we can be present to God and to each other and to those around us, and kind of using the idea of communion to embody that. Our theme for the whole week was be present, which you can see on our shirts on the front and on the back. And so we kind of talked about the ways in which we're going to be present, be the hands and feet of Christ that week. And then we ended the week with the other thing that Christ did with his disciples, which was a foot washing service. And we took some time that night to each pull aside someone that was had made an impact on us that week, and to share with them how they had impacted our lives. And there were some beautiful moments that came out of that. I think one of my favorite things that I saw was seeing a couple of my Spring Valley girls take aside Tara from Arapahoe and wash her feet, and that was a beautiful moment. And all throughout the week, our worship was great. The youth really took time ahead of mission trip to plan that, and they didn't work together between the different groups. Each group worked on its own night of worship, and somehow each group picked Lean On Me as one of the songs for the week. And so we ended up singing Lean On Me every single night, and it kind of became the theme song for the trip. And at the end of every night, you could almost guarantee everybody would have their arms around each other, and we would be singing together and having a great time. It was a wonderful, wonderful moment, a wonderful trip. And so I'm thankful for your support. I'm thankful for your encouragement as we continue to do these things. I think they are transforming trips, not only for hopefully the people that we're going to help and be with, but for us as well, as we get to know God in the various ways and places where God is at work in the places that we visit. So I'm thankful for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ainsley, Quentin, and Adam. Y'all did a great job. Thank you so much. One of the things you don't anticipate when you do a walk for schools and then come in here to preach is that you sweat a lot, and I don't think I've recovered quite. I'm going to try to avoid taking something out of this water bottle, taking a drink from the water bottle, but at some point, my mouth is going to grind to a halt if I don't, so just bear with me on that. So we've got school starting, we have a mission trip, we have a mystery trip, we've got the sermon series. Is there anything else we need to pack into the sermon? I think I've got it all there. I want to take just a moment and recognize a group of people that really made this mission trip possible. Adam and I can do all the planning in the world, but without a group of committed adult volunteers, this trip really does not get off the ground. So if you were an adult volunteer on either the mystery trip or the mission trip or both, would you please stand and let us thank you? Okay, so we're in a series called Frequently Asked Questions, Questions of Faith. The question this week is, how do I live a faithful life? And I think the way to start with that, because you're really dealing with a question that could be a sermon series all by itself, the way to start with that is what Adam and I were trying to instill in the youth for this mission trip, the idea of being present. As Adam said, you see it on the front and the back of our shirts. I think we've got a picture of our shirt, the back of our shirt there, being present. And what we meant by that was to take whatever you had done the week before mission trip and whatever you were thinking about happening the week after mission trip, really put those aside and spend time in the moment you're in, learning the lessons God has for you in that moment, either directly or through the people around you or through the people you're helping. Just put everything aside and try to listen to the voice of God right here, right now. The verse we picked, students picked this verse about passing through waters, God being with you. When you pass through water, you pass through fire. We thought this was a good verse for people who were recovering from a hurricane. But there's also something deeper happening here. This is more than just God being with you as you pass through trials. Isaiah was writing to people who were coming back from exile. In the year 586 BCE, the Babylonians came to Jerusalem and destroyed the city, including the temple. They killed the sons of the king, so that ended the line of David, took the king and the people and deported them to Babylon. And that lasted for 50 years. And then the Persians came in, conquered the Babylonians, and told all those displaced people they could go back to their homes, they could rebuild their cities, they could begin worshiping their gods again. So the Israelites were able to come back to rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, and restart in their own land worship of God. As Isaiah is saying, God is passing with you as you pass through the water, as you pass through fire. God is leading you to something new, some kind of new creation. A good Jew would also know that there was another famous time when Israel passed through the waters. And that was in the book of Exodus. And on one side of the Red Sea, Moses and the people of Israel are slaves in Egypt, and God parts the Red Sea, and the people of Israel pass through the waters. God's with them, and on the other side of the bank, they are free people. God is with you in times of trial, but God is also leading you in those times of trial to rebuilding, to restoration, to something new. And we thought that was also something important to tell people who were recovering from a hurricane. Which brings us to Jack Maverick. Quentin talked about Jack Maverick some. If you get a mental picture in your mind about someone named Jack Maverick, what would that person look like? It's probably not too far from what Jack really looked like. Jack was a Marine. He had more than his share of tattoos, and he was the construction coordinator for Rio, Texas's response to Hurricane Harvey. He was the person that put together our projects. So Monday morning he met with us, he went through the different projects that we had, and then he started telling us about the people that we were helping. And he'd have to stop. He just would get a little choked up, he'd have to stop, and he'd have to get himself back and then talk about it again. And at the very end he said, you know, you're probably wondering why a guy like me can get up here and just cry in front of you about a bunch of homeowners. It was clear Jack had a close relationship with the people we were helping. He said, let me tell you a little bit about myself. Jack lives in Corpus Christi. Like everyone else, he went through Hurricane Harvey. He didn't have very much damage, though. It didn't take very much for Jack to put his life back in order, and everything was okay. But Jack looked at the people north there, people in Aransas Pass, in Refugio, in Rockport, in Victoria, and saw that they had lost a lot and were really going to have to do a lot to give their lives back together. And he felt like, you know, if things had been a little different, I would be one of those people. And because he felt a kinship with those folks, he felt like he needed to do something to help rebuild their homes. And so he took this job rebuilding homes, but he told us, he said, I want you to remember you're doing more than just rebuilding homes. What did he tell us? He said, you're rebuilding homes, but you're really rebuilding what? Lives. You're really rebuilding their lives. One of the lives we were rebuilding was Maria. Well, I've got a picture of Maria up there too. Yeah, this is Maria on the left. The person on the right is Natalie Hoddy. She was the summer intern at Spring Valley. And that pink building in the back, it was Maria's snow cone business. It looks good from here, but if you walk around the back, most of the roof is gone and the back wall is out. Harvey put her out of business. We learned a lot about Maria that week. Maria is an institution in Refugio, and that snow cone place was too. There is an article in Texas Highways about Refugio, and it mentions that place right there. That was one of the places Texas Highways said to go when you go to Refugio. In fact, there's another picture of Maria. Bring it up there. I don't want to ruin the surprise. Okay, there's a picture of Maria with Governor Rick Perry holding up one of the snow cone stand shirts. Maria was an institution. Maria also grew up very poor in Refugio. And when the holidays came around, they couldn't afford the celebrations at Thanksgiving and Christmas like other people had. And she and her younger brothers, there it is, there's Maria and Rick, they're buddies. Maria could not afford, and her family could not afford the celebrations at Thanksgiving and Christmas that the rest of us have. And she'd be out with her younger brothers and sisters, and they would smell the cooking coming from the other houses as people were preparing their holiday meals. And her younger brothers and sisters would say, what are all these people cooking for? What's happening? Why do we smell these great smells? And Maria didn't have the heart to tell them it was a holiday because they weren't going to have this for them when they went home. Well, when Maria became an adult, she decided that no one should go without a holiday meal. And so she began cooking Christmas dinner for people who could not afford it. And she would bring them in, and they would have Christmas dinner. She would go to the highway outside Refugio and put out signs. So anybody traveling on the roads Christmas Day who could not have a Christmas dinner could come to her house. She stopped doing it, but back when she was doing it, at her height, she was feeding 200 people on Christmas. Yeah. Maria looked at the people in Refugio who could not afford Christmas dinner and saw people in a place she used to be at. She was present to God, she was present to her circumstances, and she was present to her neighbors. And that led her, by being blessed, to be a blessing to others. Jack Maverick looked at the people who had been displaced by Hurricane Harvey, saw his circumstances, and saw that he had also been blessed to be a blessing. He was where he was by the grace of God. And so that led him to rebuild homes and rebuild lives. We have a second trip I want to bring in because it has some very important things to say about being present as well. It's the mystery trip. A mystery trip is when the students show up, they get in a van, and they have no idea where they're going. We give an itinerary to the parents. That's the very last thing we do before we pull out of the parking lot, is give an itinerary to the parents, and off we go. If you went on that mission, or the mystery trip, Would you please stand, if you're adult or student, either one. Yeah. Have a seat. These are some tough people. The very first day, mystery trip, well, we said this, we give them a packing list, and we say, if you've packed everything on this list, then you will be prepared for the trip, at least physically. First day we left here, we went to Lake Ouachita State Park, which is just outside of Hot Springs. And we spent the day swimming, we rented a boat and went tubing. I've got a picture of that one as well. Had a cookout. It was a great day. As we left, the sun was setting, and that's just a picture I took of the sunset. That's Lake Ouachita State Park. It was a great day. The next day, after breakfast and after sightseeing a little bit in Hot Springs, we went to Heifer International's Ranch in Perryville, Arkansas. It's just about an hour outside of Hot Springs. Now, some of you are familiar with Heifer International. You've probably donated to Heifer. Just to get everybody up to speed, Heifer provides education to farmers in impoverished areas about sustainable farming. They provide animals for the purpose of livestock and breeding stock. And lately, they have been working in third world countries where women are typically not part of the economy, and encourage women to form co-op businesses together so that they can enter the economy and raise money and help support their family. Now, at the Heifer Ranch in Perryville, there is an area called the Global Village. Yeah, I see people looking at me now, especially Brianna's. There's an area called the Global Village, 7 sites at the Global Village. Each of these sites simulates conditions in an impoverished area. One of the sites was Appalachia, the Appalachian Mountains, and that's in the U.S. So even in a first world country, there are pockets of poverty. After a briefing and a chance to see the sites at the Global Village, we took part in, I'm calling it a game, a simulation. Any other words I could use? They're like, no. An exercise. There were 20 of us that went. We were divided into 4 groups. 20 of us, 4 groups, we were each assigned a site in the Global Village. Some of us were in Guatemala, some in Zambia, some in Thailand, and some in an area called the urban slums. I want to bring up the picture of that. Urban slums is a generic term. Most major cities in the world have an area where people have come into that city looking for work and haven't found it, and so they really live on the edge, just the edge of survival, the edge of the economy. Everything, usually putting together housing that they can scrounge from materials they find. When you hear stories about the tent cities under the overpasses here in Dallas, yeah, that's what they're talking about when they talk about urban slums. And we had one of our groups assigned there. Each group was given a set of resources. These resources were food and cook pots and some eating utensils and matches. And we were to do 3 things. First is build a fire. Second is cook a meal. And third was to spend the night in our designated area. The resources were not equally distributed. The Guatemala site actually had beds with mattresses. Guatemala also had all the water. So if you need water for cooking, you had to deal with Guatemala. Zambia had a circular hut with a concrete floor, no beds, and a thatched roof, and they had all the firewood. So if you needed to build a fire, you had to deal with Zambia. And these tubs we were given with resources, these resources were not equally distributed across the tubs either. Some people had more of one thing and less of another. So in order to be able to do what you wanted to do, you had to deal with the other sites. Now, the game runners pulled the adults aside and said, here's what we want you to do. Some of this we expected, some of this we didn't. They said, we want you to hang back and let the students work through this. We expected them to say that. Get involved only if you see things going off the rails, but be slow to do that. Let them make their own mistakes and fix that. Let them make the decisions and work through this. We expected they'd say that. What we didn't expect them to say is this. You can do one of 2 things. You can behave like a toddler, or you can behave like a very old person. just get out there and complicate their lives. Yeah, you don't have to tell me twice. Right? Yeah. That was one night that has a million stories. So you need to talk to some of these folks about what happened that night. I'm not going into all the other things that we had to do. I just want to say this, Adam Young deserves the Academy Award for Best Portrayal of a Toddler. It was awesome. Yeah, a guy named Jonathan and I were the only other parents in the group, and they said, and people came up and said, don't you think Adam is overdoing this toddler thing? And we both said, no, he isn't. Yeah, they didn't have to change diapers. So out we went for our simulation, for our game. As far as being present goes, there's two very important things I need to talk about with that. The first is that the people who went through this game understand what it's like to receive the benefits of mission. Because here they were trying to get food, trying to acquire water, trying to get firewood, food, and the means to cook it. These are things we take for granted. We do this every day. You're going to walk into your kitchen sometime today and just pull out everything you need and just throw it in the microwave, put it on the stove, in the oven. It's not going to be a big deal. And here they were having to struggle with that, to get that to happen. And as night began to fall, each group went through all their matches, and we didn't have any fires. So we were looking at the prospect of being hungry and in the dark. Adam and I slipped out, went to the Game Runners, and we got some extra matches. We went to the urban slum site, and we lit a fire. And you could see the people in that team just light up as what they thought was impossible suddenly became possible. Right? It's one thing, I'm going to talk directly to the Mystery Trip team here. It's one thing to know that people have to struggle to get things we take for granted. And it's one thing to know that people sometimes face the prospect of going to bed hungry. It's one thing to know that, but you all have spent, even though it was just an evening, you have spent time in that position. That is the difference between having knowledge and having wisdom. And we are going to count on that wisdom as we continue for the next mission trip and the one after that and the one after that. You have something to teach us. So they learned what it was like to receive mission. The second thing, as it got darker, there was one fire. And the groups, we were watching the groups negotiate. And when I say negotiate, I mean argue about what they needed and how to get different resources. It became clear to the adults as we watched all this kind of happen in front of us that there was enough food out in that game for everybody to have a meal. It's just a matter of getting the resources distributed the right way. Well, as there was the one fire and no more sunlight, the students decided that maybe if we pooled our resources, everyone could eat. And so everything came out. There was rice, there were onions, there was eggs, eggplant, there was squash, potatoes, there was cooking oil, there were spices, there was little peppers. We didn't cook, we just dared other people to eat them. Yeah. There were cooking pots, there were eating utensils. The portions were a little smaller than what we're used to, but that night, everyone got something to eat. And the real God moment came while we were cooking, and someone said, you know, we could have been doing this all along. That's what you say when you're open to the moment and you're open to the lessons God's giving you. I talk to people about the church and about mission, and a lot of people, especially people that aren't regular church attenders, really look upon the church as a service organization, and we'll talk about youth ministry as though it was a way of teaching junior high and high school students how to serve those who are less fortunate. That's a thing we do. Okay, it is not the thing we do. The thing we do is we respond to the love of God as it has been revealed to us in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus, who taught us that the best thing we can do is to love God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And furthermore, if you're wondering who your neighbor is, everybody's your neighbor. Jack Maverick looked at his neighbor in the coastal bend and saw people. He saw himself in those people, people who, if things had been a little different, he'd be one of them. Maria looked at people in Refugio and saw people who were in a situation she used to be in. She saw herself in those people. And not only that, the love of God moved her to expand her definition of the word neighbor to include people who drove by Refugio who might need a Christmas dinner. They saw themselves. And now we have, hopefully as a result of our experience in mystery trip, people who have just a window into what it's like to have to do without, what it's like to have to struggle to get things we take for granted. And they have a way of seeing themselves in the people we're helping. We have walked by the schools and blessed them. We've blessed the backpacks. I want to do one more thing about the day of start of school. Richardson schools start tomorrow. Some of you have already been in school for a while. I know that, a week. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. I've been in school for a week. I want to issue a challenge to y'all. Last year, Richardson High School started a food pantry. It was the first year they've done that. I was telling somebody about that. They said, really, does Pierce have a food pantry? I said, yes, Pierce has a food pantry too. The food pantries at these high schools are not so that these students can have lunch. That's food they can take home so that they and their family can have a meal in the evenings. That's what the food pantry's for. Pierce also has something I call a parent pantry because there are students at Pierce who are themselves parents and are trying to raise babies. And so this is diapers and formula and supplies that you need because raising a baby's tough. Adam lets you off easy. And going to high school and raising a baby is that much harder. Be present to your fellow students this year. When you're in the hallways, don't be thinking about the class you just came out of or the one you're going to. Be present in the hall. Let God inform you about where you are and God inform you about the people that are around you. Chances are you're going to walk by somebody who's taking a meal home that night. See what God puts in your heart about what we can do for those people. Be present there at school. It was not just a mission trip thing. Be present at school as well. When we are present to God, we are open to God. And when we are open to God, God gives us grace not only to consider everyone our neighbor, but to see ourselves in our neighbor. And that's the beginning of living a faithful life. If you join me in prayer. Dear God, thank you that you have blessed us in order to be a blessing. Help us to be worthy of those gifts you have given us. Help us to remember that everyone is our neighbor, and help us most of all give us grace to see ourselves in our neighbor and to serve accordingly. In Christ's name we pray, amen.